Philippians chapter 4, and we're reading verses 4 to 9. And if the children have treasure hunters, they may want to get that ready now as well. Let's hear God's word. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Well, over the next 3 weeks, I'd like us to focus our attention upon God himself. And to help us do that, we're going to look at three titles for God that we have in the New Testament. He's called the God of peace, the God of love, and the God of hope. And these describe really what God gives to his people. He gives us peace, gives us his love, he gives us hope. Of course, they also tell us a lot about God himself. The God who gives peace is also at peace within himself. The God of love is love. And so I pray that our hearts will be filled with more of God, that we'll see him in a new way for what he is and what he's able to be for us and do for us. And in these weeks of lockdown and with months of uncertainty ahead, we need more than ever to behold our God, in the words of Isaiah, and to see in him all that our hearts need, indeed all that our hearts desire. Now, when a child experiences more of life, they come to rely on their parents in fresh ways. Their first day at school, maybe some of you can still remember your first day at school, but it was made easier by the reassurances that your parents gave to you. A child discovers that their parent can make packed lunches and not just meals that appear on the table. As school life goes on, the day comes when they're left out by friends, and they learn that that very thing happened to their parents also, and their parents are able to give them comfort. And as the years go on, they decide they need to buy a house, and they put down a deposit on their first house, and they discover there's a new bank called the Bank of Mum and Dad. And so through life, they're learning more about their parents and come to see that their parents are able to help them in new and fresh ways that they'd never experienced before. Now, as God's children, we too can discover new things about God as we face new situations. Now, the coronavirus pandemic challenges and unsettles us in ways that we have not experienced before. We're not alone. The whole world is going through a testing time. But rather than looking within to ourselves or looking to the world, we have the God of peace, the God of love, and the God of hope, who is able to help us. And as God's children, there is so much more of God for us to be able to know. So today I want us to think about the God of peace and all that God is for us in the midst of these anxious times. I've got three headings, and Danny's going to put up our first heading now, which is the God of peace is present with us. The God of peace is present with us. says at the end of verse 5, the Lord is near. In some ways, that phrase acts as some kind of pivot in the passage that we read. It relates to what went before this phrase. It relates to what comes after this phrase. The Lord is near. The verses before address the need for unity. There had obviously been some disagreement before between someone called Euodia and someone called Syntyche. And Paul urges them to be of one mind. He then talks about the need for gentleness or the willingness to yield. And he then says, the Lord is near, as if to say, look, the Lord is coming, the second coming, their judgment. Let's live in the light of that. Let's be united. Let's be gentle, because the Lord is at the door. He is near. But then the verse following this phrase begin to address our anxieties and concerns and our fears. And so this phrase, the Lord is near, it can also speak to us of the presence of God to care for us and to guard our hearts. And certainly that's what it goes on to say, how the peace of God will guard our hearts, verse 7. And then when you come to verse 9, it brings it out most clearly of all. The God of peace will be with you. So the Lord is near. Yes, he is coming, second coming. Let's live in the light of that. But he's also near to us now. He is with us. The God of peace will be with you. And he is near us to see all that we face, the anxieties that we face. And so he says in verse 6, do not be anxious about anything. He acknowledges that there are anxieties in our world. There are things that trouble our hearts. And of course, Jesus Christ himself, the Son of God, he came into this world and he experienced those very things that make us anxious. I sometimes think of Jesus working in the family business. Joseph was a carpenter. And Jesus would have observed and seen the strain of working life. He understands what it's like to have to go to work each day. Would there be enough orders? Would customers be able to pay on time? He understands the anxiety that business life, working life can bring. The parables show that Jesus had a keen interest in agriculture. So many of his parables have that theme of growing crops, of corn, of fig trees, of the vine. Would it rain? Would there be a crop this year? Would that produce its figs? And so Jesus understands the pressures, the needs that we have. He knew what it was like when parents would come to him, literally on their knees, begging Jesus to come and heal their child. He understood their anxieties. And so our verse here in verse 6, when it says, do not be anxious about anything, the Lord says this because he understands that there are times of anxiety. He knows. And this is the first thing that we can take comfort in when it comes to our concerns. The Lord is near to see and to understand. And more than that, the Lord is near to come alongside us in those times of anxiety. He is full of peace in himself. He is the God of peace. Think of how calm Jesus was as he went to visit Mary and Martha in their bereavement. He didn't rush there the moment he heard that Lazarus was ill, but he went in his own time, and with what calmness he was able to speak with Mary and Martha, even though he himself knew grief as they too bereaved the loss of their brother. Or think of Jesus entering the home of Jairus. Jairus was panicking because his daughter was on the point of death. And as he gets to the house, it becomes obvious that that little girl had already died. The mourners are there wailing. Jesus, with such peace and calmness, quietly asks people to leave the home, except the parents. And he goes in with Peter, James, and John. And he takes the little girl by the hand and says, "Little girl, arise." What peace Jesus showed as he came alongside those parents. Or we saw recently how Jesus came alongside Thomas in his doubts. Or last week, how he drew alongside Peter in his failure. And how often Jesus spoke in his resurrection appearances, "My peace I give you." He comes alongside us in our anxieties. Are you feeling anxious today? Jesus Christ understands. This present crisis has brought anxieties in ways we may never have thought possible. We're anxious for our families, for our health, our plans. We find it difficult to make any plans. Our finances, all these things are at greater risk than we once thought. Many have already been affected badly. Many people across the country have lost their jobs. Many feel that everything around them is crumbling. I feel particularly for students. You know, the university is announcing that the whole year, coming academic year, they're not going to be having face-to-face lectures. How difficult that is for new students starting courses. Everything is so uncertain. It's a time of great anxiety. But it's into this world that our God comes to us as his people and says, "I am near. The Lord is near. I am the God of peace, and I am with you. And I want you to discover new things about me, that I don't abandon my people, that however different and difficult your life may be in the days to come, I am near." That's our first point. The God of peace is present with us. So we're going to pause now to sing. You may not know this song. If you don't know it, that's fine. Just listen to the words. A very simple hymn, "Leaning on the Everlasting Arms."
Leaning on the everlasting arms.
I don't know if you knew that hymn. Very simple words, but just so encouraging that the Lord is near and we can lean on him. So we've seen our first point, which is the God of peace is present with us. Now our second point, the God of peace is powerful to help us. The God of peace is powerful to help us. I don't know about you, but I've listened to a few clips of people who have come out of hospital having had COVID-19. And so often they speak of the wonderful care that they have had, so appreciative of doctors and nurses. And it makes such a huge difference to have people around them who are sympathetic, who they can't receive visitors, their family can't be there, but the healthcare workers, not just there, but reading messages from their loved ones. And it's a great comfort to have someone alongside you. But of course, doctors and nurses, they also treat their patients. They're not just there to give sympathy. And they provide the necessary oxygen, maybe dialysis, ventilation, the physiotherapy, a whole host of treatments that are necessary. And our God is a God who doesn't just come alongside us and understand us and sympathize, but he also comes near in our distress to help us. He is powerful to help. And that's the implication of verse 6. Let me read verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. There is nothing beyond God. He urges us to pray in every situation. Why? Because he can handle every situation. And it's often in those new and testing circumstances that we come to see more of God's greatness. Remember, we said at the beginning how in the new situations the child faces as he or she grows up, they come to discover more about their parents. I'm going to give you an illustration about someone called Frank Hingdon Ward. And he was an explorer and a plant hunter. Loved botany. There is his picture and his dates. And you can see on his picture a couple of flowers. And you notice a blue flower there. That's the Himalayan blue poppy, which is a prized flower that keen gardeners would love to be able to grow. It's difficult to grow. But Frank Hingdon Ward was the first man to bring home viable seeds of the blue Himalayan poppy. But it wasn't easy for him to find these plants, and he discovered many different plants and brought many back to this country. On one time, he was lost in the jungle for 2 days, but managed to survive by sucking nectar from flowers. He knew which flowers wouldn't be poisonous. There was another time when he fell over a precipice, and he was able to grip a tree just long enough for people to come and find him and pull him to safety again. And there were other stories of how he nearly lost his life. And there you go. I'm not sure if that's actually him or not. It didn't say in the cartoon. But there he was. He was willing to risk so much in order to find these new plants. And of course, the great variety of flowers that we have in our gardens these days is really thanks to many of these Victorian and Edwardian plant hunters. So many were content just to grow a small variety of flowers in their gardens. But the likes of Hingdon Ward, they were willing to take risks in order to find more. Well, how do we find more of God? How do we come to know Jesus Christ more and more? Well, very often we find him in those places that are way beyond our normal experience way beyond our ability to cope. And in those situations, we cry out for his help, and we come to see that he is sufficient for that circumstance and for that need also. We come to experience his comfort in a way that we have never known before. We come to experience his provision and guidance in ways that we never imagined. We come to the end of ourselves, we stop looking to ourselves, and we start to look in fresh ways to our God. And we find that he is powerful to help us. And so he says to us, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petitions, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. God can confidently encourage and urge us to do this because he knows that he has power in every situation. Paul speaks later on in this chapter, we didn't read it, but how he found strength in God in a whole variety of circumstances. Let me read verses 12 and 13. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. As Paul went through different circumstances, he found that God gave him the strength to cope, indeed to thrive in those situations. May the demands of lockdown and the uncertainties that lie ahead of us become places of discovery for us. I think before this pandemic, I'd become too complacent about things. Life was predictable. I felt I could manage. And instead of praying as Jesus teaches us to pray, give us this day our daily bread, I just presumed that all these things would carry on as normal. And I think the current circumstance helps us to see how dependent we are on God. But we can come to God, and we can know more of God as we lean on him in fresh ways. So let us do as he urges us to do in this verse. And let's discover more of God's loving power. He tells us not to be anxious about anything, because he is powerful to help us. Can there really be any situation that you or I are going through that is beyond not just God's knowledge, but beyond his wisdom, beyond his ability to guide, to comfort, to strengthen, to provide? I wonder, what do you find to be most difficult in your life at the moment? Or what anxieties do you have as you think about the future? God says to us, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. The God of peace is powerful to help. What troubles your heart today? What fears sometimes grip you? Come to God in prayer. Come to him with those needs. It might be financial needs. It might be worry about your health. It might be worry for your children. Bring those needs to God in prayer. Well, we've seen the God of peace is powerful to help us. Now, thirdly, the God of peace promises to guard us with his peace. The God of peace promises to guard us with his peace. There is a peace that passes all understanding. We read from Isaiah 26 about a perfect peace. This peace cannot be self-generated. A lot of psychology in our world, isn't there? And in many ways, it can be very helpful to understand ourselves better and to cope better. But let us not think for a moment that psychological techniques will be able to solve all our problems. There is a peace that is beyond understanding. It cannot be found within. It cannot be explained. Because this is a peace that is spiritual, not natural. It's from God, not from us or from other people around us. It's a peace that confounds the world. It passes all understanding. And this is the peace that God promises to bring as we pray to him with our requests and as we offer to him our thanksgiving. Let me read the verses again, and I'll go into verse 7 as well. But starting with verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It's a wonderful thing to know this peace, that quiet assurance that God will do you good. You still don't know what is going to happen. The situation doesn't change. Your job is just as uncertain. The loneliness or boredom of lockdown is the same. It's no clearer how your course is going to work out or what job you're going to get after it. The possibility of getting COVID-19 is just as real. The danger of becoming seriously ill, even dying, is still there. And yet your heart is at peace. What's happened? Well, the God of peace has given you his peace. It's a peace that guards your hearts and minds. Verse 7. This is a military term. Picture a city that's under threat from bandits or from some marauding army. And so they post sentries at all the gates and on all the watchtowers. And there are many soldiers in the city that are ready at a moment's notice to be called to defend the city. Well, before there were any of those soldiers and sentries, the people couldn't sleep because of fear. They'd be attacked at night. Their property would be stolen. But now with those guards protecting the city, the people can rest in peace. There are far more soldiers guarding them than there are marauding raiders. They know that they will be safe. And that's the picture that we have here. The situation outside is just the same, but our hearts are being guarded. We have this peace that passes understanding, that guards our hearts and our minds. Perhaps you're thinking, if only I had peace like that right now, instead of all these fears. Whenever I stop and think about what's happening in the world, it just makes me so anxious. I hate watching the news because it depresses me and puts me into a panic. I wish I could have a peace. You're a Christian. Do you remember how you felt before you became a Christian? Perhaps you were weighed down by that sense of guilt. You knew your sin before God. You knew that you had offended him. You knew that you were far from him. And whatever you did, nothing would help you. But then you started to call on God. You believed his word that Jesus Christ died for your sins. You cried to him for forgiveness. And you knew he had given you peace. Or perhaps before you became a Christian, you were terrified of death. You tried not to think about dying, but whenever you were reminded of death, hearing someone had died, thinking about your own mortality, it terrified you. Our memory verse talks about people being held in captivity by their fear of death. Then you cried to the Lord, and he saved you. And that fear has been taken away. It's not that we're not going to die. We still will die. But the fear has been removed. What did you do? You prayed. You believed God's word. And you knew that guilt removed, that fear of death taken away. How can you know the peace that passes all understanding? You do the same. You believe God's promises. And here, he promises that as we come to him with our requests, as we present our prayers to him, the peace of God will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Notice that phrase, in or through Christ Jesus. You know your sins have been forgiven through Christ Jesus. You know that fear of death has been taken away through Christ Jesus. Well, it's the same Lord Jesus who can fill your heart with peace. You see, he doesn't just take away our sin and our fear of death. Those are far massive things. But he also comes to us in our lives. He comes alongside us. The Lord is near. And he wants us to experience his peace in these new circumstances that we face. He is the God of peace who gives his peace. Trust him. Believe this promise. Bring your prayers to him. Perhaps you're thinking this morning, you know, I've never experienced peace like this. I've never known peace in the face of death. I don't know what it's like to have my guilt removed and my fear of judgment taken away. This peace comes from God through Christ Jesus. If you're not a Christian this morning, you can put your faith in him. You can call on God, and he will give you peace with God. And you will know peace from God. This is the greatest gift I've ever received in my life. I know what it's like to be terrified of death. I know what it's like to feel guilt weighing me down before God. That dread fear of his punishment, of an eternity without God. Just as I called on him and trusted his wonderful promise of forgiveness and of life, you too can experience that. This is his kindness. This is the God of peace, who reaches out and would fill your heart with peace. We're going to pause now for a little while, as quietly we pray in response to this. And then after a couple of minutes, I'll pray. Oh Lord God, we thank you that whatever we face, whatever anxious thoughts we have, whatever fears suddenly grip us, we thank you, O Lord, that as we come to you in prayer, we can know your peace, a peace that passes understanding. Lord, may that be ours today. Lord, I pray for any who have never known any peace in their hearts, that they would come to you and find that you are indeed the God of peace. Would you fill their hearts with your peace as they repent of their sins and believe in Jesus? Lord, we pray for one another. These are anxious days, Lord, and we ask that even though the situation around us is the same, yet may our hearts be filled with a peace that we simply can't explain, but one that we greatly enjoy. So we would rejoice in the Lord. We would come before you with thanksgiving that you are such a great God, that you guard us, that you garrison our hearts, and nothing can destroy us. Nothing can remove us from your hand. We are yours forever. And so we come with praise through Jesus Christ. Amen.